Good to be in the Lord's house today. Brother Marshall, would you open us up? Well, you can grab your hymnals, turn to page 296. We'll be singing Follow On. His way with thee. Thank you.
seeds of fear and doubt. We must get back to the basics to defend against the foe. The book, the blood, and the blessed hope.
Believe the book from beginning to the end. Claim the blood, the only covering for your sin. The blessed hope. Our Lord is coming back again. We need the book, the blood, and the blessed hope.
Other words will not stop Satan from attacking what God said. Your self-improvement will not keep him from uncovering your own sin. Though reform will only make you doubt, our Lord will come again.
It takes the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. Believe the book from beginning to the end. Claim the blood, the only covering for your sin. The blessed hope. Our Lord is coming back again. We need the book, the blood, and the blessed hope.
Believe the book,
I believe the book from beginning to the end.
Yes,
I'll claim the blood, the only covering for your sin.
The blessed hope,
he's coming back again.
We need the blood,
we need the blood,
the blessed
hope. We need the book, the blood, and the blessed hope.
Closer than a brother, and he knows your pain like no other. So don't be afraid. Step out in faith and trust in his name.
God's still faithful in the midst of it all. He's faithful. When the earth beneath your feet gives way in defeat, he's faithful.
When it's just too much for you and you don't know what to do,
God will carry you through. When hope is all gone and you've no strength to hold on, God's still faithful.
Faithful is he when your strength is weak and you've lost all your peace.
Time of trouble, when everything around you has crumbled, he will never change, he will remain forever the same. God's still faithful in the midst of it all. Feet gives way in defeat.
There. My name is Tara, as I'm sure a lot of y'all know already. I was asked to give a testimony, and I did not decide what I was going to do my testimony on until about 5 minutes ago. So if it's a little rough, I'm sorry. but, you know, the Lord really grew me this year at Heartland, and I'm so thankful for that. But he also used some things in my life to really prepare me for how he was going to grow me. So I kind of wanted to just share about how that all worked out. Roughly about this time of year, maybe a month or so after this last year, my parents got COVID, and they got it while I was at church camp, so I wasn't allowed to go home. And so I ended up staying with some people from my church for about a week and a half, and then my parents ended up getting worse, and so they had to go to the hospital. So then I was able to go home. So it was a blessing. But so my brother and I spent the week that they were in the hospital just trying to catch up on life really at home. And it was a hard week. Not having your parents at home is kind of unsettling a little bit. And I remember I got to a point about a week after they were in the hospital still, and I was just really struggling. And I was on my way to work, and I was like, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get all this done. Like, I have to leave for college in 5 days, and I haven't started packing yet. And I was really struggling, but the Lord just spoke to my heart, and he said, you know what, Tara, the responsibilities I've given you, I'm going to enable you to do them. And so I was like, okay, Lord, whatever. But that night I was able to call my mom for the first time and actually talk to her voice to voice, instead of just texting. And I got to hear how my dad was doing, because I didn't know how that was going. And he really comforted my heart. But what really got me was Sunday. My brother and I went to church, and then we rushed home afterwards, had a quick lunch, and then we had to go out to our farm to get the mowing done, because it hadn't been done in like 3.5 weeks. And so I was preparing for a very long afternoon, and as we were going down the driveway, I looked out and I saw the grass, and I was like, this is weird, the grass is awfully short. I was kind of expecting it to be like this tall. But as we got closer, I realized that somebody had decided to take it upon themselves and do all of our mowing for us. And it was just one of those things where I didn't expect the Lord to work in that way. And it may be like, oh, well, the mowing could have waited. But in my mind, the mowing could not have waited. And so he really used that to teach me that lesson. And then this year with getting on group and having the opportunity to travel, I really didn't know what I was doing when it came to playing accompaniment. And there were so many times where I was just stressed out about practicing and stuff. And the Lord opened up times for me to practice, and he taught me how to invest in people and to love people and be a people person when I didn't feel like being a people person. There were so many ways that he taught me that. And even this summer, we've had some really great hosts who I've just been struggling with some things, and they've taken the time to speak to me about those things or to minister in me. And so I'm just so grateful for a God who knows what we need, and he knows how to meet those needs. Even though I might think something different, the Lord really knows best, and I'm so thankful to get to share that with y'all today. So.
I've heard there are stars so distant, so far, in a lifetime you'd never reach them. And to weigh out the oceans, count the sands of the desert, where would you ever measure of grace that it all
describe. The measure of grace is more than we'll ever need.
He was led to Golgotha on the outskirts of town, then nailed to a rugged cross as the mockers gathered round. The sky spoke like thunder when he finally bowed his head. He who had given life now hung there dead. Then his mother and some friends came to carry him away. They were trying to speak through a broken heart what only tears could say. The sunset cast no shadow on the world's darkest day, and with one last look, they laid him in the grave.
But I talked to him today, and my cares all fell away. He made me feel like life had just begun. He said all of my trials can be turned into triumph through the victory that he's already won. And I talked to him today, and the comfort that he gave filled me with desire to tell the world that on Calvary he died, but right now he's alive, I know.
Because I talked to him today. Mary Magdalene came breathless to the place where Peter lay. He was searching through his broken heart, trying to find the faith to pray. But as he heard her joyful story, his sorrow could not stay, and his hope sprang out through words he heard her say. She said,
I talked to him today, and my cares all fell away. He made me feel like life had just begun. He said all of my trials can be turned into triumph through the victory that he's already won. And I talked to him today, and the comfort that he gave filled me with desire to tell the world that on Calvary he died, but right now he's alive, I know. Because I talked to him today. Yes, on Calvary he died,
but right now he is alive.
He's alive. He's alive. I know. Because I talked to him today.
Surrounded by an army with nowhere to flee.
Waves of disbelief seem to swell with the tide. They ask, has God forsaken us and left us here to die?
Moses stood to his feet and lifted up his rod. Cried, stand still and watch. touch the mighty hand of God.
A great wind rolled the waves away and dried up the ground. I can almost hear Moses cheering on the crowd.
We will go on. By the grace of God, we will go on. Think of all he's done.
Don't stand here at the water's edge. Have faith and be strong.
Be strong in the name of the Lord. We will go on.
Are you surrounded by fear? Trapped by life's sea? Have you been deeply wounded by a heartless enemy?
Keep your faith anchored in his never-changing word.
Then, child of God, cry out, lift your voice and be heard. We will go on. By the grace of God, we will go on. Think of all he's done.
Merry Christmas to you, right? After that song, there we go. Thank the Lord for that. Great job, ladies. Wonderful messages of song right there. Well, I know you had lunch, and we are now at the Baptist nap time, so hopefully you will not fall asleep, but we did attempt to have the last couple songs be a little peppier for the purpose of helping us out a little bit if we need that. Before we open our Bibles, I want to kind of just in a way of illustration. How many of you ever, has anybody, let me ask it that way, has anybody ever gone and done axe throwing? Okay, a few people have. All right. Axe throwing. For those who are not familiar, it's kind of like it says. Okay, you take axes and you throw them. All right. Last year on Father's Day, my kids, I had gone to an event with a Bible class that we're involved in, and they had some axe throwing. And I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. You know, you get to take axes and you have solid wood over their target and you get to just chunk them at it, you know. And so they ended up having an axe target built for me that was made out of 2x8s and large sturdy thing. And I got out there with the axes and I thought, okay, I have to describe this a little bit. I got out there and I thought, I'm going to be excellent at this, okay. You take an axe. I mean, who can't throw an axe, right? Okay, you can chop wood with an axe, but throwing an axe, that's easy, right? So I'd throw it, and it almost looked like I didn't know where their target was. You know, there was a bullseye there. There was a bullseye. It didn't have any holes in it or anything like that because we hadn't hit it with an axe yet. And I started throwing the axe at it, and it would hit this side of the target area. The wooden area is about this wide. It stands about this tall from the floor, so plenty of area and, to be able to throw at. But there's this red bullseye in the middle. And I was smacking it over here and down here and all these places. And it took me the longest time to figure out how to throw it properly, how to get it to stick properly. And then a few times I had some people over to the house and I took the axes and went out there and I put them right in the bullseye like this. So there's three axes right there. So people, I could describe, okay, I went ahead and did it for you. Now you can know how you're supposed to do it. So they could come out and throw the axes and think, yeah, wow, he can hit the bullseye when they were going to do all the, you know, going everywhere. Well, it's hard to hit a bullseye when you're aiming for it. Sometimes it's difficult when you're shooting for something to actually hit what it is that you're shooting at. But if we don't have something that we're aiming at, we are going to hit the nothing every single time. So we have to, in our Christian lives, we have to be aiming in a certain direction. Now, take your Bibles out, open with me. Here's what we're going to do. Ready? Here we go. I will preach real fast. You listen real fast. We'll be done real fast. We get to go home real fast, okay? That all work for you? Okay, here we go. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Let's stand together. We're only going to read just a few verses, but we're only 4 verses. We're going to focus in on one verse, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. We're going to pick up reading in verse number 21, and we're going to go down to the end of this chapter. It says this, verse number 21. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ hath anointed us is God. So notice that, establisheth, the one that establishes us is whom? It's God. Okay? Verse 22. Oh, this is a tremendous verse. Wish we had time to deal with it, but we're not going to. Okay? It says, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Aren't you thankful for that? That we have the Holy Spirit as our down payment for what's coming next. Thank the Lord for it, okay? Moving on, number 23, verse 23. Says, moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Gives us a little bit of background, a little bit of history of what had transpired between Paul and the church of Corinth. Since he had several contacts with them, he had been there, he had written 1 Corinthians, of course, and another writing to them. But now notice with me in verse number 24. This is what he has to say to them. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand. Amen. For by faith you stand. Let's have a word of prayer and you can be seated, okay? Lord, thank you for this afternoon. Thank you for this time in your word, for the messages of song that we've already heard. Our hearts been lifted up toward you. I pray that you'd be honored in what comes next. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Be seated. Thank you so much. Well, as I mentioned, throwing an axe toward a target, you're aiming at that target, okay? Well, here we have a passage where Paul is telling the the believers, those that are at Corinth, that he's not able to revisit to. He's been there a couple times and he wants to go back there, but the verse number 23 tells us that he's not able to at this point. But in verse number 24, he says, but, put my glasses back on so I can see it real good, but are helpers of your joy. Something that he was shooting at. Something that he was pointed toward. Now, we all, as believers, need to have something that we are pointed toward. But think about this. Paul could have put anything in there under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that could have been very useful to these Christian believers. He could have said, we want to be helpers of you carrying out the gospel. He could have said, we want to be helpers of you taking forward the Great Commission. He could have said, earlier it talked about who is it that establishes us? It's God. He could have said, I want to be a helper with you to establish local churches. He could have said, I want to be a helper with you to help you be holy. We are to be holy, right? Why? Because God is holy. All of those would have been useful things. Sanctification could have been put in there. But what he says is that not that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. So his goal that he was telling the Corinthian believers was simply this. That target, that what I'm aiming at, is I want to help your joyous life as a believer. Now, stick with me here. That's not in contrast to all those other things we mentioned. Okay, he wasn't saying, okay, I can either help your joy or I can help you carry out the Great Commission. I can help your joy or I can help you be holy. I can help your joy or I can help you establish churches. No. As believers, he was calling them in a direction to help their joy. Now, get this. I get to teach Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. I love that. I especially love it when I get to Nehemiah. Okay, but the other part's good too. But in Nehemiah, the Bible says this. The joy, get this, ladies. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You know what that means? It doesn't mean that we're flexing our muscles. It means that we're having joy of the Lord. It's not a manufactured, I'm going to make myself joyous, I'm going to put a smile on, even though there's problems taking place. No, it's not that at all. It's the joy of the Lord. That means even when you're going through trouble. Anybody ever had trouble?
Yep.
You know him? Sure. You know him? He goes by Mr. You know, Mr. Trouble and then Mrs. Trouble, and there seems to be troubles all around us. Sometimes it's a person that's the trouble. Sometimes it's a thing or a circumstance that's the trouble. All of us have endured those. We've all had to go through that, right? Are we on the same page? Yeah, of course. All of us have. But even in the midst of that, here's the thing. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen.
No matter what it is that I'm facing, His joy can be my strength. And Paul was saying back to these believers, I want to be a helper of you in this joy. Now, with that being the aim, he includes these two other thoughts. The thought right before it, notice it, where he says, not for that we have dominion over your faith. That word dominion means to lord over or to rule or to force toward. How many of you remember having to have a talk with your kids and force them to clean their room up? Anybody ever had to do that? Have you ever had to force your kids to do something? I think it was mentioned in one of the testimonies about a little bit of force taking place of them doing some things in the way of service, even at church. Any young person ever had to deal with that? You know, you come to church and mom's making me help clean the church. Mom's making me help do this. Or dad's making me help mow the lawn. You know, the kind of stuff. That force. Now, you can get things done by force, can't you? Yeah, you can talk people into stuff. Now, if you have a good enough personality and you have a good enough way of saying things, you can get people to do some stuff that they're hating the whole time they're doing it. All right? But isn't it great for those of you who are parents, when your children do something and you can actually see there's an attitude that they're having fun, they're enjoying, they're doing it. Hey, it's tough, it's a work type thing, but they're not down in the dumps and angry and mad all about it. You can sense that difference, can't you? You can kind of see that when somebody sings at times, can't you? They're doing their responsibility up here, and then times when they're actually enjoying doing their responsibility. They're enjoying singing unto the Lord. There's a big difference in that. And Paul was saying, we don't want to have dominion over your faith. We don't want to force you in your faith. We don't want to lord over you and say, you must do this. Or we don't want to be the determiners of your faith, because we know it's a whole lot better
It's so much better when you actually have a faith that you're loving, you're enjoying, you're engaged in it, and it's exciting to do. You know, I can preach and not enjoy preaching. Or I can enjoy it. I can, Lord, use my life. Lord, help me to be what you want me to be. Not to be somebody else. I'm not called to preach like somebody else. I mean, there are a lot of great orators out there that have the ability to preach in a fantastic way. But God hasn't called me to be one of those. He's called me to be me. And to use how God has put me together for His glory. And if I do it in a ho-hum, I hate this, why do I have to, which somebody else would, that's not going to be useful at all. I still might get the job done. But there's a difference. Having my faith dominated and forced. And the opposite of that, having some joy in it. So the goal, remember the goal? You're shooting at the bullseye? The bullseye was what? Joy. Be a helper of your joy. The last phrase that he said right there. Notice that. It says, not that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. Get this last part. Where'd my glasses go? Oop, lost them. Okay, there we go. He says, for by faith you stand. Now we read through that real quick and we think, yeah, that's a good statement. No, think about it. Think about it. Jerry, right? Okay, can you help me just a second? Okay, come on up here. He's like, what are you, am I getting into? All right, Jerry, face that way if you would, okay? Now, I want you to, I'm right here behind you, okay? I want you to lay back in my arms. I'm a pretty stout guy. I can hold you, okay? Okay, let me prop you up here. All right, so here's Jerry. Now, Jerry's trusting that, how many of you want to see me step back and let go? Okay, he's trusting that I'm going to continue holding him here. Okay, now here's the idea. For by faith, he's having faith in what I'm doing, ye stand. It's a contradiction of words. You don't put standing, in other words, like standing on your own type thing, you know, standing up. Is he standing? No, what's he doing? He's having faith. But here's what the pastor says. For by faith, what? You stand. What's faith? Dependence. For by dependence, you stand. He was saying, I don't want to dominate you and make you have faith and do what's right. I want to be a helper of your joy. You know why? Because when you're depending, now imagine, who was it that establisheth? God. Who is it that he's supposed to have the faith in? God. So when he's having faith and dependence upon God, you're doing okay, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's pretty relaxed, aren't you?
Yeah.
All right. And close your eyes.
Take a nap.
Mm-hmm. All good? Okay. Having faith in God, relying upon God, dependence upon God, surrendered upon God. You know what I could do? You know what I could do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
He knows what I can do. But he's trusting. And he, according to the scripture, when we do that with God, that's when we stand. When we depend upon him, when we submit ourselves to him, when we humble ourselves and put everything in his hands. Surrender is not, fine, I'll give up. Surrender to God is when you take all your strengths and all your weaknesses, everything you have, and say, here, God, you can do with it what you want. And it says, there you stand. Thank you. Be seated. Appreciate it. The Apostle Paul was saying to these believers, which you know a little bit about the history of Corinth if you have ever read 1 Corinthians. They weren't always the most mature believers. He was writing back to them and saying, I don't want to dominate your faith. I don't want to have dominion over your faith. I don't want to control and run the show and you do things because I'm forcing you to do them. No, I recognize when you depend upon God, when you have faith and surrender to Him, you will stand. And in that standing, I want you to have joy. So I want to help you in it. Let me ask you, how do we help each other in joy? Well, you probably could say I've helped some people in being discouraged, right? We could probably say I've helped some people being a little critical about things. I've helped some people being negative about things.
I've helped some people in some fashion, but helping people with joy. If you've ever had to have somebody help you with something, for instance, if you had to move a couch, if they said, yeah, I'll help you, and then they stood there and just watched you do it, that's not really help, is it?
Right.
Help is when they come along and do some hands-on, get involved.
Yep.
Okay? So a helper of one's joy is when you come along. You have to have the joy of the Lord in your life already and continue to build that so you can then come along and be a help to somebody else. That help was as he encouraged them to continue letting the Lord establish you in the faith, to continue surrendering to the Lord. Whatever he wants out of your life, make sure that you put yourself in at his disposal to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. The fact of churches being established, living in holiness, being sanctified, the idea of carrying out the Great Commission. He said, I want to help you enjoy it. Because then what happens? Faith becomes real. And when faith becomes real, we start living it in our daily life. And what happens? People around us start seeing it out of our daily life. And they actually start to recognize there's something different about that person. And we are called to have an influence upon people. And it won't happen if we're down in the dumps all the time. And sometimes we need some other believers to come along and say, I'm going to encourage you in the Lord. I'm going to lift you up. I want to help your joy. Because when you're joyous in the Lord, that's when you have some strength. That's when you will stand. Sorry, I made the baby cry. Okay, I got to be quiet now. All right, we got to talk like this so the baby won't cry anymore. That was the cue. We timed the baby to make sure to cry when it was time for me to be done, okay? So think through it. Let's help each other to have the joy of the Lord. So that we can be the best Christians standing.
Yep.
Standing while we're dependent. How are we doing on it? Maybe there's an area where we need to say, I'm not the helper I should be. God, there are areas that I'm around these people a lot and I just haven't helped their joy much. Let's bow our heads. God, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word, how you use us, and how you use truths from your word that are so relevant to today. Help us to make it real. Help us to make it personal. And even in this afternoon service, help us to, you've spoken to our heart, help us to talk to you and deal with how you've dealt with us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to have to sing a song of invitation, I'll Live for Him, page 317, if you need the number. If you want to pray at your seat, you can do that, of course. You come to the altar, sit down and pray there, kneel down there, whatever you need to do, just do business with God.
Thank you. Just another reminder, we will be having Brown Bag from now on for the summer through September. That's going to be starting at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoons, so keep that in mind. Also, we'll be praying for the trio as they'll be traveling to Topeka tonight and then on to Colorado after that, so just pray for safety as they travel the road and continue traveling for the rest of the summer. Then we'll have outreach on July 2nd, so that's 2 weekends from now. And then we have a special guest coming on July 3rd, Mike Reap. So he'll be speaking that day. YouthCon registration is due on July 6th, and then the remaining amount will be due on July 31st. And then we also have a meeting for VBS, which is July 17th through the 20th. We'll have a meeting up here in the front for anybody who's willing to help put that together down here in the front after the service. Steve Foster, would you mind praying for us?